you that much?
Stavin chuckled, startling him into looking up again. I decided to pay the asking price without haggling because you are family, and I won't begrudge you a small profit. Besides, he said with another chuckle, Renadian crowns are smaller than Evandian crowns. In terms that I understand on a visceral level, that 360 crowns only cost me about 280 Evandian. It's still a substantial sum, but not excessive. Nestal gave Stephen a thoughtful look, then bowed deeply. I brought the deed for the property with me, Prince Stephen. He gestured toward the library. Our signatures will complete the sale. Stephen nodded and followed Nestal to the library. Nestal signed the parchment and added the agreed-upon purchase price, then slid the document around to Stephen. By our signatures, I transfer ownership of the warehouse located in Anniston, Marinova sector, at the corner of Order and Starling Roads to you, Prince Stephen Zelandral. He placed a large iron ring of bronze keys beside the deed. Stephen glanced at the document and signed the indicated place in imperial glyphs, and then picked up the keys. He bowed to Nestal and said, Thank you, Cousin Nestal. It has been a pleasure to meet you. I am honored to have met you, Prince Stephen, both as a dragon-blessed prince and as the blessed of Arendar. With that he bowed deeply to Stephen, then again to Lady Serana, then turned and walked out of the manor. That went smoothly, Stephen said in a cheerful tone with a bright smile. Lady Serana returned the smile. We will go out and see your new warehouse after the midday meal. I understand that you got in and out of Zell Castle without Savannah catching you. Stephen chuckled. We got in and out quickly, and Lovan's knowledge was invaluable. The gold merchants were certainly surprised to see me. Lady Serana smiled and bowed her head. I imagine so. After they had eaten, Stephen joined Lady Serana in her carriage for the trip to the warehouse. When they arrived, Stephen looked at the warehouse in silent awe for a moment. It was huge, far larger than his warehouse in Aravad or Velavad. It was built as a rectangle, 150 cubits across the front and 200 deep. What impressed Stephen the most were the windows indicating three floors. Stephen walked up to the door and sorted through the keys until he found one that matched the lock. Opening it, he found himself in a suite of offices. There was an assortment of desks and tables, stools and chairs, and bookcases distributed throughout the offices. But everything was empty. Lady Serana said, Nestal has been trying to sell this place for years, but not many people need this much space or could afford what he was asking. The warehouse itself is through here. She indicated a door to the side, and Stephen had to sort through the keys again to find the right one. The warehouse had a huge open lower floor, with a large square hall leading to the upper floors at one end. Stephen paused and looked at the enormous space and whispered, "This will do," as he mentally measured it against what he thought he needed. "This should hold all 20 wagons easily." "Indeed," Lady Serana agreed. "The upper floors are divided into shelved cubbies for storing medium and small-sized items. There is a hoist that can be used to lift bulky items, though I would recommend having the ropes replaced." Stephen nodded. "This will do nicely." Karvik was at Stephen's shoulder and asked, "Are there living quarters, Lady Serana?" Lady Serana looked at him and nodded. "On the second floor, above the offices. They are about the size of a revered clan's home." "What are you thinking, Kar?" Stephen asked.
"Nothing specific. I just remember your warehouse in Aravat."
They returned to the estate, and Stephen began preparing to move on again. "I'm going to have to go to the Traders Guild offices and sponsor the new masters to the guild, and I'm going to have to see the Wainwright as well." "Not in Zell Castle," Lady Serana corrected. "Their council isn't sufficient. You'll have to take them with you to Rhee, to the Traders Guild Master Council. As for the Wainwrights, they and the livestock merchants will be by tomorrow morning." She gave him a self-satisfied grin. "There are advantages to owning the entire town." Chapter 9. The next morning, two Wainwrights and three livestock merchants were waiting with their hats in their hands when Stephen and his hosts finished their morning meal. Lady Serana took them all to the library. Stephen nodded to each of them, then sat, motioning toward chairs. "Please be seated." When everyone had taken a seat, he continued, "I am placing an order for 20 wagons of this design." He slid a drawing of the wagons he wanted across the table. "And a dual ox team to pull each of them." The Wainwrights had taken the drawing and were humming over it.
"Last one, based on this design, each of these wagons would cost about 7 gold crowns,
the elder of the two said with a bow. Stephen nodded.
"That is a moderate price, good men," he replied. "I have a 100-crown draft for each of you. Take that drawing and make these wagons into something special for my traders."
"Blessed one, we will make these wagons worth every spark you've paid."
Stephen bowed his head slightly and said,
"Thank you."
Stephen turned his attention to the livestock merchants now, and all three of them bowed deeply in their chairs. They were all about the same age, but one seemed to be the leader.
"Blessed one, the ox teams for your wagons will cost 5 gold crowns per animal."
When Stavin's eyebrows drew down, he quickly continued,
"That will include the yokes and harnesses for each pair, blessed one."
Stephen thought for a moment, then nodded.
"Very well. That's 200 for the oxen. Who will it be divided?"
All three men bowed deeply.
"Blessed one," the spokesman began, "we are willing to take the payment together and divide it amongst ourselves when we have delivered the animals to your manager. 40 oxen may take a while to acquire an outfit, but not as long as it will take to build the wagons."
Stephen looked at Lady Serana and said,
"I should have arranged for a manager with Sindal."
Now that she had been drawn into the discussion, Lady Serana stepped forward.
"Sindal's uncle Rovan might be a good choice for your manager. He's a Kerl Aniston by birth and married Verilyn Zell Aniston. He was the guard on her wagon for years and was drawn into trade because of it. Verilyn is Sindal's aunt, her mother's elder sister. Rovan is Arendar's age, maybe a little older. He's old enough that I don't think he'll miss the road, and he has plenty of experience. And, come to think of it, he'd probably welcome the chance to manage House Kerl Aniston for you. You see, neither he nor Verilyn owns a home of their own, and they've been living with Vera's son from her first marriage. All other factors aside, those living quarters Karthik asked about would suit them nicely."
Stephen asked, "Does he have his vest?"
"Yes, both he and Verilyn have master trader credentials, but he has the better head for trade. Vera, well, Vera can hold her own, but she's never been very aggressive."
Stephen nodded and pulled out 2 of the 100-crown drafts. Turning back to the livestock merchants, he slid them across the table.
"Take these and see to it that the oxen are ready to pull my wagons."
Stephen rose to his feet and bowed slightly as the men hurriedly came to their feet.
"Go with the love of the gods above in your hearts."
All 5 men bowed deeply, then backed away, leaving the door open. Aaron took control of them and escorted them out of the house.
"Nicely done, Cousin Stephen,"
Lady Serana said when they were alone.
"You overpaid for the wagons and oxen, but not by much."
"Their figures were close to what I was expecting," he explained.
"There is also the added benefit of having them well disposed toward my house."
Lady Serana nodded.
"And when the word spreads, it won't be just them. Everyone is going to be pleased to have House Kerl Aniston with us." "But they would have anyway. I asked Sindal and her master candidates to join us for the midday meal. With your permission, I'd like to send for Rovan and Verilyn as well." Stavin bowed his head as he replied, "Of course, Cousin Serana."
The midday meal was a tense affair. Six of the master candidates were young, close to Stavin's age or younger. The other two were in their 40s. It wasn't hard to figure out that they were Kel Aniston guards turned traitor. The surprise was Rovan and Vera Lynn. Rovan Kel Aniston was lightly built, lithe and graceful, but his movements set Stavin's warrior instincts quivering. Where Karvik was a bear, Rovan was a snow leopard. Vera Lynn reminded Stavin of his mother. She was about the same age as Marinus, with much the same coloring. Her movements were not as fluid and graceful as her husband's, but Stavin was convinced after just a few breaths that she was every bit as dangerous as her husband. Stavin stood to greet all of them.
"Good day, good cousins. I'm sure Cousin Sindal has explained what we are proposing to all of you. Well, maybe not Rovan and Vera Lynn, but you'll catch on quickly. Eight of you will be going to Rhea with me so I can sponsor you to the guild as Hoskel Aniston's caravan masters. Rovan," he said, turning to face the man squarely, "I would like to hire you as my manager for Renedia."
Rovan stood and stammered, "Me, blessed one?"
"You, cousin. You and Vera Lynn."
Rovan bowed deeply.
"I am honored, blessed one."
Vera Lynn simply nodded. Stavin chuckled.
"I'll offer you the same deal I gave my managers in Evandia, Caravia, and Luxandia. 15% of the profits from this branch of Hoskel Aniston."
Rovan glanced at his wife, then bowed to Stavin.
"You are placing a lot of faith in us, blessed one."
"I think it's faith well placed,"
Stavin replied with a slight smile.
"You are, after all, a Kel Aniston. I've purchased a warehouse from Nestal Zell Aniston."
He smiled at Rovan's startled look.
"I think you know the one. You are, of course, welcome to the living quarters above the offices. Hoskel Aniston is going to have 4 caravans dealing with long-distance shipping, leaving Hos Zell Aniston free to see to the local trade."
Sindal stood and bowed to Stavin, then addressed her traders.
"Master Trader Stavin and I have entered into an agreement that puts Hoskel Aniston in a subordinate role to Hos Zell Aniston. That does not mean that I will be running Kel Aniston. It just means that I'll be passing the longer trips, such as those up to Rhea, onto host Kel Aniston. I will also be calling on Kel Aniston to supply extra wagons on occasion, such as harvest time."
Stavin smiled at Sindal for a moment, then turned back to his traders.
8 of you, and 8 Kel Aniston guards, will be traveling to Rhea with me so I can sponsor you to the guild. You'll be returning with 8 enclosed wagons that will be the master's wagons for the caravans. They will all have built-in hearths for the cooks."
One of the young women stood and bowed.
"Your pardon, blessed one, but I thought there were only going to be 4 caravans."
Stavin nodded.
"Yes, but each caravan will have 2 master traders, and each master will have their own wagon."
There were startled looks on several of the traders' faces, including Sindal's. She stood and bowed to Stavin.
"Did we discuss this, Master Stavin?"
"No, but you should probably get used to me doing the unexpected. I decided on the enclosed wagons just now when I realized that none of the wagons I commissioned were going to be suitable for cooking. I decided to supply each master with a wagon rather than each caravan, because we might expand."
Karvik had been leaning against the wall and chuckled. When Stavin looked at him, he said,
"I'm glad I'm not the only one you surprise like this."
Stavin grinned and then laughed as he replied,
"You and everyone else."
The next morning was a time for farewells. Stavin let Lord Arendar convince him to take all of the new clothes with him, and he'd purchased a pack horse to carry them.
"Cousins, thank you for your hospitality. It has been a wonderful experience. Until we meet again, I wish you all good fortune."
Lady Serana stepped forward and spoke for her family.
"Cousin Stephen, we have been honoured by your presence. Fair skies and smooth roads to you and those who travel with you."
With that she stepped back and bowed deeply, and every member of the estate staff bowed with her. Stephen returned the bow, then led the way out of the estate. 16 additional riders fell in at the back of the group as they left the gates. The ride back to Zell Castle went smoothly. Their arrival, however, didn't. One of the traders led them directly to the museum, and that's where Mayor Sovana and her council found them.
"Prince Stephen," the mayor began, "were you just going to ride on without even taking your leave of us?"
Stephen nodded and said, "Yes, I was. There is nothing left for us to discuss."
"His Majesty will hear the insults you've given us," one of the councillors threatened. "And rest assured that he will hear of this incident as well," Karvik replied.
"Who are you to even address us?"
another of the councillors demanded. Karvik drew himself up to his full height and looked down at the offended woman.
"I am Major Karvik Kelkarin of the Avandian Royal Guard, and War Leader Third of Kelkavan."
The councillor sniffed.
"A Kel, anything, has no business addressing this august body."
Now another guardsman stepped forward.
"I am Eldik Darval Overland Zelkarin, heir of Zelkarin."
He glared at the councillor who had spoken.
"Would you care to challenge my right to address you?"
The mayor looked startled, as if she had forgotten about Eldik, though Stephen was certain she would never forget or forgive the humiliation of being turned away by him. Now the traders stepped forward and glared at the councillors.
"I am Ferelan Zell Aniston,"
one of the young women said, as she looked the councillor in the eyes.
"Would you care to challenge my right to address you, Anavan Fel Hostan?"
The councillor closed her mouth with an audible click and backed away, shaking her head. Now Master Trader Fel Castan stepped forward and spoke down at Stephen as he said,
"Prince Stephen, you lied to us."
There was suddenly an island of silence around the entire party. Stephen looked at the councillor and spoke in a mild tone as he asked,
"Is there a reason for that insult, Councillor Fel Castan? Or did you just decide that today is a good day to die?"
Fel Castan took a step back and said,
"You can't claim insult against a member of the City Council,"
in a haughty tone.
"Councillor,"
Stephen replied in a low tone, "as a member of the Royal House of Zel'Andral, and a scion of the Royal House of Zel'Darvin, the only people I can't claim insult against are members of other royal houses, and even then, there are limits that no one can exceed."
"And it will be my honour to challenge you on my brother-in-law's behalf,"
Varric said, as he stepped forward to look down into Felkasten's eyes.
"Should he decide to claim insult against you?"
He was tall enough to look down at the councillor, and Felkasten looked frightened. Felkasten stepped back as he babbled an apology, and Mayor Zell Tessel turned to Stephen.
"You can't—" "There are few things I can't do, Mayor Zell Tessel," Stephen replied, "and fewer I won't, especially now."
Faced with someone they could not intimidate, the city council backed away, then turned tail and hurried down the street. Stephen turned around to find Master Scribe Fel Dancel waiting for him with a slight but definitely wicked smile on her face. Stephen bowed slightly and said,
"Master Scribe." "Prince Stephen," she replied with a deep bow. "That was highly amusing and long overdue. Please come in, and we'll see how the collection reacts to your armor."
She bowed deeply and indicated that Stephen should precede her into the building. When Stephen entered the exhibits, the entire collection lit up. A bright glow emanated from every artifact, and Stephen nearly had to shade his eyes from the kaleidoscopic image he faced. Bright shafts of red, green, gold, blue, and violet light burst forth from every artifact.
Stavin's armor also lit up, turning him into a brightly glowing figure in the dimly lit museum, like an avatar of Arendar the Bright himself. Stavin glanced at Karvig, and saw that he was shielding his eyes with one hand, just peeking between his fingers. Varric and the rest of the guardsmen, and the traders and Masterfell Dancel herself, were similarly trying to preserve their sight, so Stavin quickly led the way out. Once they were out in the sunlight again, Stavin bowed to Master Scribe Fel Dancel.
"Thank you. That was truly extraordinary."
Master Fel Dancel bowed very deeply.
"Prince Stephen, I have never seen the collection react like that. I am honored that you came to see us."
She bowed deeply again. Stavin bowed his head.
"Until we meet again, I wish you and your museum well, scribe to scribe."
With that simple parting, Stavin led the way to the horses and mounted. 10 guardsmen led the way out of town, and Karvik fell in at Stavin's side as the rest formed up behind them.
"You know, Steve, I'd love to see their faces if they found out you could do that without wearing your armor."
Stavin sputtered with laughter for a moment, then finally managed to say,
"Shut up, Car,"
as they passed the gates of Zell Castle.
Chapter 10 Stavin breathed a sigh of relief once they were out of Zell Castle's territory.
"I think we can relax a little now, Car. We've got at least 22 days of travel to reach Rheon the Glimmer."
"Yes, and every bit of it through the mountains where bandits have the advantage,"
Karvik pointed out. Stavin laughed.
"It's not all mountains, Car. From the map, it looks like we only have one real mountain pass to cross."
Karvik shook his head.
"I ask the traders. The land between here and Rhee is mostly hills and mountains, with just a few valleys. That's why Trader Sindal said oxen for the wagons. Remember?"
Stavin nodded. "I remember. All right, but let me have some time alone."
He smiled slightly as he stared at True's ears.
"I'm still coming to terms with everything that's happened."
The expedition traveled fast and unmolested for 3 days. The first town they reached was a small farming village with the descriptive name of Big Red Rock. They arrived late in the day, and the gates were already closed. Karvik pounded on the gates until someone finally came to the watchpost above the right gate.
"Hey there! Leave off!"
a voice shouted before they saw the man.
"The gates is closed, and they're staying closed, lessen ya got good reason for me to open 'em."
Stavin dismounted, signaling his men to do the same, then moved up beside Karvik. It was already dark enough that the glow from Stavin's armor was pronounced.
"Good man," he shouted. "We seek lodgings for the night for ourselves and our animals." "Ah, and why should I trust you?"
the man shouted back.
"You look like a band of bandits to me."
They could finally see the light from a candle lamp shining in the window, and soon the dark silhouette of a head showed as well.
"Show me some... Arendar be blessed! You're him! Arendar's blessed himself!"
The man vanished immediately, but almost before he left the window, the sound of wood grating on wood came from the gates. Both gates soon began moving outward, and Stavin and his people backed away. 10 men were pushing the gates open while an 11th man was hurrying out. He dropped to his knees and placed his forehead against the ground at Stavin's feet.
"Blessed one, forgive me," he begged. "I had no way of knowing it was you."
Stavin laughed.
"Stand, good man, and let's all go inside. The day was long and hot, and we're parched."
The man scrambled to his feet and backed away, bowing repeatedly.
"At once, blessed one. This way, please, blessed one. We have 2 inns for you to choose from, blessed one."
Stavin laughed and shook his head as he walked forward. Looking to the side, he said,
"Major Kel'Karin, send some men forward to check both inns. We'll put the traders and their guards in the smaller one. The rest of us will take the bigger one."
"Yes, Prince Stephen," Karvik replied. "Lieutenant Kel'Hovel,
Sergeant Zelfordan, take your teams forward and check the inns.
Both men snapped, "Yes, sir," and headed forward at a fast march. Their teams followed, leaving Stavin with Karvik's team and the traders as guards. Stavin was looking around and stopped momentarily, then headed toward the center of town. In what was probably the town circle was a boulder the size of a large barn. Stavin nodded and said, "That's definitely a big rock." The man who'd met them bowed and said,
"That is the rock that gives our town its name, blessed one. When Arendar rises, you'll see that it's made of rose granite."
"I look forward to seeing it in Arendar's light," Stavin replied with a slight smile.
The inns were both small, and Varric was standing on the porch of the larger of the two.
"This is the better inn, Prince Stephen. It's going to be crowded, even with one team on watch."
Stavin nodded.
"Very well. Where are the stables?"
"Around back," Varric answered, pointing to the left.
Stavin and the remainder of the guardsmen went around the inn while the traders and their guards headed toward the other inn. The stables turned out to be a lean-to in a simple paddock. Stavin sighed and stroked True's nose.
"That's all right, girl," he murmured. "At least we're safe in a town for the night."
A young boy came running and skidded to a stop, dropping to his knees in front of Stavin. "I'll tend to your horse, blessed one."
Stavin smiled at Karvik as he shook his head.
"Stand up, young one. I'll tend my True, but my pack horse needs attention."
The boy bounced to his feet and bowed, then took the pack horse's lead and took her to the side. Stavin grinned at Karvik as he shook his head.
"I don't think he can handle the packs. Have someone help him."
Karvik nodded and signaled one of the younger privates over.
"Help the stable boy with Prince Stephen's packs. Bring them inside and keep an eye on them. We don't want any souvenirs falling off."
The guardsman, a young warrior with three fresh white stripes on his shoulder, bowed and said,
"Yes, War Leader Kel'Karin,"
then went to collect Stavin's packs. Stavin and Karvik turned their horses loose and put their saddles on the fence, then turned toward the inn. The door opened before they reached it, and a woman bowed deeply.
"Welcome to the Crowing Cock Inn, blessed of Arendar. I am Mistress Lantan Fel'Rowan, owner and innkeeper."
She bowed again, indicating that Stavin and Karvik should go ahead. Inside, they found the common room full of royal guardsmen and a few civilians. One man rushed towards Stavin and almost ran into Karvik's sword. The man screamed,
"No!"
as he fell to his knees. Karvik pointed his sword at the man's chest and shouted,
"Do not run at my prince!"
"Forgive me, forgive me! I only wanted to greet the Blessed One!"
Stavin patted Karvik's arm as he stepped past him.
"Who are you, good man?"
I am Mir Ardath Felsalva, blessed one."
Stavin nodded.
"Stand, Mir Felsalva. Do keep in mind that I am a prince of Ivandia, and my royal guardsmen are tasked with protecting me at all times. Is there something I can do for you, Mir Felsalva?"
The mayor stood and then bowed deeply.
"Prince Stephen, on behalf of myself and the town council, I wish to welcome you and your party to Big Red Rock."
Stavin bowed his head and replied,
"Thank you for your welcome, Mayor Felsalva. We will just be staying the night."
The mayor bowed deeply again.
"Blessed one, we have no temple here. Are you going to establish a temple of Arendar the Bright in Big Red Rock?"
Stavin exchanged startled looks with Karvik and Varric, then turned back toward the mayor.
"No, Mayor Felsalva, I'm not. That is not my mission. We are just passing through on our way to Rayon the Glimmer."
The mayor bowed deeply, then backed away. He didn't say anything, but it was clear from his posture that he was disappointed. Stavin sat at a table, and Karvik, Varric, and Sergeant Zelfordan sat with him. A young girl of about 13 came to the table, wringing her hands nervously, and asked,
"What do you desire, blessed one?"
Stavin smiled.
"Beer for all of us."
The girl bowed again, then backed away, keeping her eyes on Stephen until she bumped into the wall. Then she turned and went behind the bar. Varric chuckled and shook his head.
That girl is absolutely terrified of you.
Stavin's mouth twisted into a bitter grimace.
Shut up, Var.
Varric chuckled at having gotten a rise out of Stephen.
She's going to spill her a beer,
he sighed as he stood up.
I'll go help her.
Stephen shook his head.
Keep your seat, Var. Remember those tailors and seamstresses and their apprentices? Let the girl earn a few bragging rights by serving the Blessed of Arendar. I have the feeling I'm going to learn to like that title about as much as I like being called Dragon Blessed.
Karvik chuckled, as did Sergeant Zelfordan. The girl returned with four large ceramic tankards of beer, and she very carefully placed them on the table. Stavin reached over and touched her hand as he said,
Thank you.
The girl dropped to her knees and kissed the place where Stavin had touched her. She whispered,
You honor me, blessed one.
Stavin said,
Let the light of Arendar the Bright shield you from evil, and let the love of the gods above fill your soul. Go on now, you have others to serve.
The girl looked up at him, then stood, bowed deeply, and went to see the guardsman.
You better be careful, Steve, Varric said as he sipped his beer. You're going to have people lining up to be blessed by you.
You're not funny, Var.
The night passed quietly. Karvik let Stavin have a room alone. There really wasn't room for both of them in any of the rooms on the inn's upper floor. Late in the night, a silent figure crossed the inn common room, making for the stairs. The royal guards were, as always, too alert for that.
"Halt where you are!"
Varric said in a stern tone. The figure stopped and turned a pair of big brown eyes toward Varric.
I was going to the Blessed One,
a soft feminine voice replied.
Varric looked at her carefully. You're the serving girl, aren't you?
I am, Lord.
What's your name, child?
The girl swallowed and bowed her head.
Sarilian, Lord.
Varric nodded and asked,
Why are you going to see Prince Stephen, Cerulean?
She stared at the floor as she replied,
I was going to offer myself to him, my virtue.
Varric almost burst out laughing.
Child, he wouldn't take you,
he answered softly. It would be dishonorable. Besides, he's my brother-in-law. Oath or not, I'd have to challenge him for dishonoring his vows to my sister. She was still staring at the floor as she asked,
Not even to honor Arendar?
Varric shook his head.
No, and that wouldn't be honoring Arendar the Bright. Stephen told me that the gods above are the gods of our better nature. You should save that gift for the boy you marry.
The girl turned away as Varric watched. Around him, the men of his team were nodding their approval. Morning found the entire expedition eating in the common room. Cerulean served them in silence, but her stiff posture betrayed how nervous she was. After the morning meal, Stavin walked out to the big rock in the center of town and looked at it in the bright morning sunlight. The rock was indeed made of rose granite, and the red was very pronounced in several places.
I'm impressed,
he murmured.
I wonder how it got here.
Karvik murmured back. Neither of them had heard the mayor come up behind them, and turned quickly to face him when he answered,
According to Dandar Shandrake, it was brought here from the far mountains by the great ice sheet that once covered the Brodian continent.
He paused as Stavin and Karvik shared a glance.
Dandar Shandrake told the city founders that this great rock came from a place half the continent away.
Amazing, was all Stavin could say for a moment. Then he shook his head.
I've got to write this down for Shari. She's always interested in things like this.
The expedition got ready to go soon after that. Varric took a moment to tell Stavin about his almost visit by the girl, and Stavin sighed as he shook his head.
Should I say anything to her?
Karvik answered,
No. She'd probably just be humiliated by it. Just let it go unnoticed.
You're probably right, Carr. Is everyone ready?
When everyone had their horses saddled and ready to go, Stavin mounted and led the way to the town gates. As expected, the mayor and a broad assortment of townsfolk were there to see them off.
Prince Stephen, on behalf of our people, we wish you a safe and pleasant journey.
Stavin nodded deeply.
I thank you all. May the light of Arendar the Bright protect you all from evil.
With that, he kneed true forward, and they passed through the gate. Karvik rode close to Stavin's side and looked around.
This is beautiful country, isn't it?
Stavin nodded as he looked out over the valley and up at the mountains.
Very. This is what I miss most about the expeditions. Twin Bridges is beautiful, but it can't compare with this.
He gestured around them.
This is something new.
Karvik chuckled.
Yeah, but at least we're not camping every night, or pulling night guard duty.
Stavin laughed back at him.
I'm not, at least.
After that, they settled into a comfortable silence, just pointing out interesting sights as they passed. They had been on the road for 4 more days before they reached another town. This one was much bigger than Big Red Rock.
Now that's more like it,
Stavin muttered. Turning toward Karvik, he asked,
What do you think? 20,000?
Karvik nodded.
About. There's a sawmill on the river, he pointed out, as well as a grist mill.
How can you tell? Varric asked.
The sawmill has a flume leading down from way up river to float logs down, he said as he pointed. The grist mill is farther downstream and has an underflow wheel directly in the river, while the sawmill has an overflow wheel driven by the water from the flume.
Stavin was looking at Karvik with wide eyes. He asked,
How do you know all that?
In a puzzled tone.
The first expedition I led went through a town a lot like this in Karivia. Darval Kelvandar pointed out the differences.
Have I met him?
I don't think so. He's Ralina's little brother, the one who got his vest the season before her. And you?
Stavin chuckled.
We're going to pass through Aravad on the way home. Maybe we can detour up to Markavia Cross, and Cavenston as well.
Karvik nodded and pulled out the small parchment that held their itinerary.
If we can find a way to send a message from Rhee and don't extend our stay there, we should be all right.
Stavin sighed mightily.
And figure the odds of that happening now that Arendar has chosen to join the fun.
My math isn't that good, Karvik laughed.
Stavin had to laugh as well.
There is always the option of paying the gold merchants to send it. I just don't like the idea of paying them a gold crown to say, we're going to be a little late.
Karvik chuckled.
Yeah, but you would have paid it 3 years ago in Karivia if you could have.
Stavian's eyes went unfocused for a moment as he breathed.
Oh, yes. And I would have bought my own message book this time if I was crazy enough to have imagined the events in Anniston. 50 gold crowns isn't that much, for me at least, but I didn't think anything major was going to happen this trip.
Karvik laughed uproariously for a moment, then gasped,
When have you ever gone on an expedition that didn't get exciting?
Stavin just shook his head as he muttered,
Shut up, Kar.
Varric laughed at Stavin.
He's got a point, Steve. Dad told me he didn't expect any trouble when you went to Evandia to check your trading house. And look how that turned out.
Stavin glared at his little brother-in-law and said,
You shut up too, Var.
He shook his head sadly.
Dragon blessed Prince of Evandia and Karivia, and blessed by Arendar the Bright. And this is the respect I get.
Karvik glanced at Varric, and they both started laughing. Karvik gasped,
Yep,
as he continued to laugh. Chapter 11 It took until midday to reach the city. The gates stood open, and just one old man sitting on a stool guarded them. He walked forward, straightening his uniform, as Karvik stopped his horse.
You're a mighty pretty bunch,
the guard said as he looked over the expedition.
You escorting a prince or some such?
Karvik was startled and just said,
Yes, we're escorting Prince Stephen of Avandia.
The guard stumbled back a few steps until his back was against the gate.
Prince Stephen, the Blessed of Arendar?
He asked in a husky voice as he looked behind Karvik. Karvik nodded.
Yes. Can you recommend a good chosen inn? An inn fit for the Blessed of Arendar? The best Henley has to offer is the Hornet's Nest. It's easy. It's actually pretty hard to find,
he admitted with a one-shouldered shrug.
Let me fetch you a guide.
At Karvik's nod, he stepped to the side and pulled a rope. They could hear a bell inside the walls, and in just a few breaths a dozen armed warriors were facing them.
"Stand down!"
the old man bellowed. The warriors came to a stop and sheathed their swords. One stepped forward and bowed.
"You summoned us, sir."
The old man nodded.
"Five of you escort the Blessed of Arendar and his party to the Hornet's Nest Inn. The rest return to the ready room."
Almost as one, the men turned toward Karvik. Stavin kneed true forward, and as soon as they saw his golden armor, they went to their knees and placed their foreheads on the ground. The old man was the only one to keep his head up.
He said, "Blessed of Arendar, we welcome you to Henley,"
in a loud, clear voice that carried to the back of the group, and also to the curious people inside the city. Stavin bowed slightly in his saddle.
"I am honored by your greeting. You men, rise. You can't guard your city on your knees."
The warriors stood cautiously, brushing the dust from their armor as they looked at Stavin. The old man stepped forward again and bowed deeply.
"I am Major Serdal Kel Froman of the Henley Guard, blessed one. My senior men will guide you to the inn immediately."
He glanced at his men, and the oldest five stepped forward and bowed.
"At once, sir. Blessed one, please follow us."
The warrior bowed again and headed into the city. Enough people had heard the major that the news of Stavin's arrival had spread like wildfire. People from every walk of life were lining the streets, many rushing to the correct route and falling to their knees as soon as Stavin came into view. As Stavin passed, the people bowed their heads in respect, many going all the way down until their foreheads touched the ground. Stavin simply stared straight ahead. This is already getting old. The ride through the city took more than two spans, and Karvik was a nervous wreck by the time the Hornet's Nest Inn came into view. The front porch of the inn was crowded with silently waiting people. When Karvik pulled his horse to a stop, and Stavin rode into view, everyone knelt and bowed their heads. Stavin looked at Karvik and rolled his eyes. Karvik grinned, then asked in a loud voice,
"Who is the innkeeper?"
An emaciated old skeleton of a man stood and cautiously came forward.
"I am Carlan Feldervas, keeper of the Hornet's Nest Inn, blessed one."
Stavin nodded.
"I need rooms for my party. Major Kelcaron will be posting 11 men at a time on guard, so that will reduce the number of rooms we'll need."
The innkeeper seemed to be fighting down his reaction for a moment, though Stavin couldn't tell if he was fighting elation or fear. He finally bowed and said,
"Yes, of course, blessed one. I shall have my best suite prepared immediately."
Karvik nodded as he ordered,
"Sergeant Zelfordan, take your team inside and check out the inn."
Sergeant Zelfordan and the 10 men of his team dismounted and turned their horses over to Varric and his team, then went inside the inn. The innkeeper seemed on the verge of a breakdown, so Karvik explained,
"We don't allow Prince Stephen to enter any building that we haven't checked out."
The innkeeper sputtered for a moment, then bowed deeply and took a step back.
"With the Blessed One's permission, I will have my servants prepare the suite."
Stavin nodded, and the innkeeper hurried back inside.
Stavin turned toward Karvik and shrugged. Not the friendliest place we've ever stayed.
And that worries me,
Karvik murmured.
Me too,
Stavin murmured back.
Let's see to the horses while the innkeeper is busy.
Karvik nodded his agreement and led the way around the building in silence. The horses had been seen to, and everyone was ready by the time Sergeant Zelfordan came out.
Prince Stephen, Major Kalkarin, the inn is secure, and I have two men in the suite as well as two men in the kitchen.
Very good, Sergeant, Karvik replied. Let's go in and see what the innkeeper is so nervous about.
Karvik led the way, and Stavin stayed behind him. He was no stranger to people being nervous around him, but nothing like the innkeeper's reaction had ever happened before. The inn common room was all but empty. One of the royal guards was standing in the doorway facing out, refusing to let anyone in. Stavin shook his head.
We need to get upstairs so the innkeeper can have his inn back.
Karvik grunted his agreement, and they headed for the stairs. Sergeant Zelfordan hurried to join them.
Third floor, to the right, Prince Stephen, the sergeant said as they climbed. It puts you at the front of the inn.
Stavin nodded but didn't say anything until they reached the suite.
This will do for one night, he said as he looked around.
Karvik walked through the suite and returned to Stavin's side.
Only one bed, Steve. I'll have the innkeeper shift a second bed in here for me.
Stavin just nodded.
What is he so nervous about?
Stavin asked softly as he looked around.
This is a nice inn.
Not up to the standards of a royal inn, of course, but way above average.
He's probably more concerned about the Blessed of Arendar. Did you notice that he and, really, everyone we've met here insists on calling you the Blessed One instead of Prince Stavin?
Stavin grimaced.
I noticed.
Karvik chuckled at Stavin's tone.
There's no bathing room. We'll have to go back downstairs to clean up.
Stavin looked around and shook his head.
I guess they don't get many royal visitors.
Karvik laughed and caught up his kit, and Stavin was right behind him. The innkeeper met them at the foot of the stairs and went to his knees.
What do you desire, Blessed One?
He asked with his head bowed.
A bath,
Stavin replied. The innkeeper glanced up, then bowed his head again. His left arm came up and he pointed down a hallway.
Our poor bathing room is through the last door on the right, Blessed One.
Stavin said, Thank you, and headed down the hall with Karvik right behind him. Behind Karvik were the 10 men of his team.
Something isn't right here,
one of the guardsmen murmured.
We noticed, Karvik muttered back, so keep your eyes open. Once we are done, start cycling through two at a time. Pair up. No one gets caught alone. Two of you, go pass the instructions to the rest of our men, and pass the same instructions to the traders.
Understood, Major,
the men replied. The two in the back turned away to carry out the order. The bathing room, like the suite, was a disappointment.
That tub's barely big enough for me,
Stavin muttered.
Karvik chuckled as he replied, This isn't much different from the tubs we've used for most of our lives, Steve. You just got spoiled living in the palace and staying in royal inns.
Stavin shook his head and just bathed in silence. The water wasn't hot, but it was plentiful. After Karvik had poured a final bucket of water over his head, he took over helping Karvik with his bath. When they were both dressed again, they left the bathing room to find the guardsmen facing off with a group of hostile men dressed in fine clothing.
"Know what?"
Stavin muttered.
"Blessed one!"
a man shouted, and soon every man there was shouting the same thing, clamoring for Stavin's attention. The crowd started pushing forward, trying to get to Stavin, and Karvik bellowed,
Royal guards, protect the prince!
With that order, the guardsmen stopped trying to politely hold the men back.
Swords hissed like angry snakes as the guardsmen took an aggressive stance and pushed the men back.
"You can't do this to us,"
one of the men shouted.
"We are chosen lords,"
another added.
"We're above you common guards."
Eldik stepped forward with his sword at the ready. "I am Eldik Zelkarin of the Evandian Royal Guard, an heir of Zelkarin. You are not above me."
"Stand aside, boy," one older man growled as he stepped forward, only to stumble back when four swords swung toward his chest.
"You will keep your distance from Prince Stephen, or die where you stand,"
Eldik growled right back. Stephen made his way toward the front of the guardsmen, stopping just behind Eldik.
"You will find that my guardsmen are exceptionally hard to intimidate. I will take a few spans to meet with the Lord Mayor and Council, but I will not be holding court."
"But, Blessed One!"
"No," Stephen answered mildly. "I am only staying the night and moving on at first light." The man who had tried to push past Eldik again stepped forward again, this time stopping well short of the guard's swords.
"I am Lord Mayor Errol Zell Borland. I insist you stay and discuss your transformation with us."
Stephen shook his head.
"No, I'm still trying to decide exactly what that transformation is and what it means. I'm sure someone will be writing it all down eventually. You'll just have to wait until then."
Another man demanded,
"Who are you to deny us?"
from well back in the crowd. Now Stephen stepped forward and replied,
"I am Dragon-Blessed Senior War Master, Prince Stephen Marken Carven do Kaelin ne Aniston Zelandral of Evandia,"
in an angry tone.
"That I am also the Blessed of Arendar is secondary to that."
All of the men took a step back as Stavin's golden eyes flashed with his anger.
"You will find that I am not easily impressed by the rank of others. Rest assured that His Majesty King Alred will receive a full report of this incident when we arrive in Rhi on the Glimmer."
The Lord Mayor took a step back, then pushed, or was pushed, forward again.
"Blessed One, you must tell us what has happened to you. The information we've received from Zell Castle has been sketchy at best."
Stephen shrugged.
"That's because we were in Aniston rather than Zell Castle. After the followers of Lebowan attacked us..."
"You were attacked?"
one of the lords demanded loudly.
"Yes," Stephen replied. "We decided that Aniston was a much more comfortable place to stay. Lady Serana is a gracious hostess, and saw to my comfort in true style."
The men were murmuring amongst themselves, and soon the Lord Mayor addressed Stephen again.
"Blessed One, we noticed a number of traders among your party. May we ask who they are?"
Stephen nodded.
"They are going to be the masters of the House Kal'Aniston caravans that will soon be handling long-distance trade from the Aniston and Zell Castle area."
Several of the men exchanged glances before one of them stepped forward and bowed.
"Blessed One," he began, then paused to clear his throat. "Forgive me. Are you seeing that your House Kal'Aniston is going into competition with House Zell Aniston?"
Stephen shook his head as he smiled.
"No. House Kal'Aniston is taking over the long-distance trade in support of House Zell Aniston, as it should be. We'll also be helping with high-volume trade during harvest. Cousin Sindal doesn't like sending her caravan so far away."
He glanced at Ferelan and nodded.
"This is Ferelan Zell Aniston. I'm sponsoring her and seven others to be my master traders."
The man seemed surprised, but at the same time intrigued.
"Will you be trading exclusively between Rhi and Zell Castle, or are you going to branch out?"
he asked with a definite look of avarice on his face. Then he hastily added,
"Your Highness."
Stephen thought for a moment, then shrugged.
"That will be up to my managers, Rovan and Vera Lynn Kal'Aniston.
I'm going to be much too far away to directly control this portion of House Cal Aniston.
The man nodded.
I know Vera Lynn and her husband, Your Highness.
At Stavin's raised eyebrows, the man bowed.
Perhaps I should introduce myself. I am Master Trader Sevin Zell Winterhaven, owner of the Zell Winterhaven Trading House, and leader of the Henley Traders' Council.
Stavin nodded.
I am pleased to meet you, Lord Zell Winterhaven. We're going to have 4 caravans with 5 wagons each, but as I said, it will be up to Rovan if we expand beyond that.
The trader bowed and backed away, and the mayor joined in. One by one, the other men bowed and followed their leader out of the inn. Stavin looked at Karvik and shrugged.
I guess I answered their questions.
No, Karvik said, as he looked out the door. You stomped on the mayor so hard they were afraid to push for more information. That plus having all of us armed behind you.
Stavin glanced behind them to find all of his guards behind them with bared steel in their hands. A wry grin twisted his lips as he admitted,
Could be.
Karvik said, Sheathe your swords, men, and well done. The guardsmen complied, and the atmosphere in the inn became much more relaxed. Stavin saw the innkeeper over to the side and waved him over. The man hurried over and went to his knees.
What do you desire, blessed one?
Something to eat and drink, Stavin replied. What do you have?
The innkeeper glanced up and then focused his eyes on the floor again.
We have nothing fit to serve you, blessed one. I am ashamed to say we only have flame-roasted goat spears. If you will tell me your preference, blessed one, I will do my humble best to prepare what you wish.
Stavin glanced at Karvik and received a shrug in answer to his unasked question. Looking at the innkeeper, he said,
I have never heard of goat spears, good man. What are they?
The innkeeper said,
Metal rods, about a cubit long, with meat, tubers, onions, and peppers on them. Then they are cooked over the fire, blessed one.
His eyes never left the floor, but his hands had moved to demonstrate what he was describing.
Sounds interesting. A nice strong ale would go good with that.
Karvik nodded and said, For me as well. He and Stavin went to a table as the innkeeper scrambled to his feet and went to the kitchen. The ale arrived almost immediately, and Karvik tried it first, as always.
Stout stuff,
he said, as he set the mug down. The innkeeper was hovering by the table, glancing between Stavin and his still untouched mug. Stavin grinned at him.
My father's orders. He tastes everything first to make sure I don't get poisoned.
The innkeeper's expression was vacillating between indignation and terror as he said,
Blessed one, I would never...
It's all right,
Stavin said as he raised his hand to stop the man.
We have no reason to suspect you. It's just my father being overprotective. In Twin Bridges, poison is a favorite way to get rid of unwanted rivals, like me and my family. We always take the precaution, so there's never a chance mistake.
Karvik had been waiting and nodded when Stavin stopped talking.
Go ahead, Steve.
Stavin took Karvik's mug and sipped.
Oh, wow, that's strong. Darwin would love it.
The innkeeper bowed and backed away, keeping his eyes on Stavin until he reached the bar. Then he turned and went into the kitchen. Stavin was looking around again and finally saw something odd. There was a shrine set up near the hearth, but it was covered.
I wonder what that is,
he murmured, and Karvik followed his gaze.
Let's find out,
Karvik replied softly. He stood and walked over and removed the cover. He instantly bellowed,
Guards!
As he turned and drew his sword. Stavin sprang to his feet with his big knife in his hand.
What is it, Kar?
He demanded as he scanned the room. Karvik threw the cover to the ground and pointed.
Wheel and shears.
Stavin fought down the rage that was boiling his blood.
Pack up,
he snapped as he looked around. The innkeeper came out of the kitchen and stopped in stunned disbelief.
"You found it?"
he asked as he fell to his knees.
"Yes, we found it," Steven replied.